Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking the ultimate shortcut to the structural biology frontier. We're looking at how visualization and AI prediction are merging.
And we've got a fantastic stack of materials here. We have developer notes on Chimera X. We've got technical insights on AlphaFold 3 and even its clones.
So our mission for this deep dive is to give you the key insights, how to navigate all this complex molecular data and really understand how to critically interpret what these tools are telling you.
Exactly. It's not just about what the new tools are. It's about being smart with the output.
Which means getting comfortable with things like confidence scores, diving into VR and AR visualization, but also, you know, still mastering the command line.
Because that's what saves you hours. We're really moving beyond just static pictures to these truly interactive data-rich assemblies.
It feels like a seismic shift, doesn't it? I mean, for decades, it was all X-ray crystallography, cryo-EM, really tough, time-consuming stuff.
It was. And now AI is giving us these high-resolution blueprints almost instantly. And a tool like Chimera X is so essential because it lets you pull directly from the huge AlphaFold database,
which is now over 200 million predicted sequences in the latest version.
Right. And when you grab one, you're not just getting a pretty ribbon diagram. You're getting a data object.
And the very first thing you have to do is check if you can trust it. Which brings us to the two big metrics, PLDDT and PAE scores.
Absolutely. Think of PLDDT, that's the predicted local distance difference test, as your sort of fine-grained quality control right down to the residue level.
So it tells you how confident the model is about each individual amino acid's position.
Exactly. It's a score from 0 to 100. High confidence means that residue is probably right where AlphaFold says it is. And you can see this right away.
You just color the model.
You color the model. The standard command, color bfactor, #1palette, AlphaFold, it paints the structure blue for high confidence, then down to yellow, and then orange or red for low confidence.
And those red bits are probably what? Flexible loops or disordered regions?
That's right. And there's actually a fun little detail in the source material about that color scheme. The official AlphaFold database uses 4 colors.
But Chimera X uses 5. Why the extra one?
It was a very deliberate design choice. The developers found that by adding a color for that medium confidence range, so between 70 and 90, it let researchers better judge the quality.
Ah, so you don't throw out a decent model just because the color grading was too coarse.
You got it. It's a small change, but it's a really smart one for user perception.
Okay, so if PLDDT is local, then the PAE score predicted aligned error. That's the global view.
That's the critical difference. PAE is all about the relative orientation between pairs of residues. It measures the expected error in their alignment.
So a protein could have great PLDDT scores everywhere. All the pieces are folded perfectly.
But if the PAE score between two of those pieces is high, it means the model has no idea how they're oriented relative to each other. They could be anywhere.
Which makes the PAE heat map plot totally essential. It's telling you how the pieces fit together.
It is. And this is where Chimera X has this great shortcut. You look at that 2D plot and you search for these big square blocks of low error.
Those are your domains, the chunks that are confidently aligned.
Precisely. And then you can just use the command AlphaFold pay #1color domains true, and it automatically finds those blocks and colors them as distinct domains in your 3D model.
So you can immediately see the rigid core versus the floppy bit.
It is a massive efficiency boost, just a huge one.
Speaking of efficiency, let's talk about the new contender. Bolts.
Yeah.
This is the open source clone of AlphaFold 3, and it's making a lot of noise.
And for good reason. The buzz is because it tackles a huge limitation of the earlier versions. Bolts can actually predict structures with ligands, ions, and nucleic acids in them.
Which is a complete game changer for, say, drug discovery or protein DNA interactions.
Absolutely. But the fine print here is important. If you're trying to run this on your own machine, you're going to run into some serious hardware challenges.
Right. GPU memory seems to be the big one. The prediction size is hard capped.
It is. The models measure size in tokens, which is roughly 1 amino acid per token. Now, a big cluster can handle maybe 5,000 tokens for AlphaFold 3.
But on a high-end consumer GPU, one with 24 gigs of VRAM, you're stuck around, what, 1,000 tokens?
About that, yeah. Which is pretty small when you think about large complexes. It's all about the memory footprint of that neural network.
So people are trying workarounds, like using 16-bit precision instead of 32-bit.
They are. It basically cuts the memory usage in half, so maybe you can squeeze in 1,400 tokens. But you are trading a tiny theoretical bit of accuracy for a lot more capacity.
It's always a trade-off. But the sources point out something really surprising. The biggest time sink isn't even the GPU part.
I know, it's wild. For smaller proteins, up to 95% of your total wait time is the multiple sequence alignment calculation, the MSA step.
And that's CPU only?
Strictly CPU only. And what it's doing is just reading and writing these gigantic sequence databases.
So, bottom line, if you're building a local prediction machine, what's the one thing you need to invest in?
Your disk speed. Get the fastest NVMe drive you can. The test showed it was 3 times faster than some older cluster file systems. It's a huge practical takeaway.
Incredible. So even with all this speed, we have to come back to that main point. These are just models. You have to check them against real data.
The community is constantly hammering this home. And the insulin receptor example in the docs is a perfect illustration of why.
So what happened there? Researchers were studying a cryo-EM map of this receptor.
Right. A huge, very flexible protein. AlphaFold predicted a beautiful, high-confidence structure with the insulin ligand bound to it, and it put the insulin in a binding site that is, you know, a known real binding site. The prediction made perfect sense.
But it wasn't what was in their experimental map.
Not at all. Their specific cryo-EM map showed the insulin bound at a completely different site, which created a whole different but biologically important conformation.
So, the lesson is that AlphaFold might give you the most stable, lowest energy state, but not necessarily the specific functional state you're studying.
Exactly. It's your starting hypothesis, not your final answer.
Which brings us to visualization. How do you even compare these things? Let's step inside the molecule with VR and AR.
This is where things get really cool. Chimera X supports standard VR headsets, but the real magic is when you mix it with augmented reality.
So you're actually putting the virtual molecule into the real world. How does that work?
Well, you mount a depth camera, like an Intel RealSense, onto a Vive tracker. The software then knows exactly where the camera is in the room and can project the molecule right into your real-world view.
That would be amazing for a presentation. You could literally walk around a protein floating in the middle of the room.
It's incredible for collaboration, and for interacting with it, you use hand controllers, triggers for moving and rotating the whole thing.
But how do you select one tiny atom in 3D space? You can't use a mouse.
For that, if you're on Windows, you can use the Leap Motion plugin. It tracks your hand gestures.
So I just pinch my fingers together to click on a residue.
That's it. The pinch gesture becomes a 3D mouse click. It makes you feel like you're physically interacting with the model, not just, you know, manipulating a picture of it.
That sounds great, but I can already feel the motion sickness. These models are millions of triangles. How do you get 90 frames per second for smooth VR?
That is the number one engineering challenge, the nausea problem. If the frame rate drops, you feel sick instantly.
So what's the fix?
Aggressive simplification. When Chimera X sends the scene to a standalone device like a Quest, it runs a tool that just decimates the geometry.
How much are we talking?
Up to a 30-fold reduction in the triangle count. But it does it smartly, so it still looks almost identical. The computational load just plummets.
Very clever. What about the other side of this, the glasses-free 3D monitors?
Ah, yeah, the Acer Spatial Labs, Samsung Odyssey. They're visually stunning. They use eye tracking and lenticular lenses to create that 3D effect without a headset.
It sounds amazing for a group of people looking at the same thing.
It is, but there's a huge usability flaw that the developers are really frustrated with.
What's that?
The operating system treats it like a secondary monitor, which means it tries to render the 2D user interface, all your menus, your command line, on the 3D surface.
And I'm guessing 2D text on a 3D lenticular screen is not good.
It's completely unreadable. It's blurry. It's doubled. You can't type commands. You can't click menus. The docs call it a poor design decision by the manufacturers.
So the ideal setup is to keep the interface on your normal monitor and just send the 3D view to the special screen.
That's what they're working towards. You need the desktop for control and the 3D screen just for visualization.
Okay, let's pivot back to that desktop because command line mastery is still the fastest way to get work done.
It really is the bedrock for just, you know, quick structural insights. The MLP command, molecular lipophilicity potential, is fantastic.
What does that show you?
It colors the surface by hydrophobicity, so it instantly highlights potential binding pockets. The default colors go from dark cyan, which is water-loving, to dark goldenrod for the oily, hydrophobic patches.
Perfect for seeing where a drug might stick.
Exactly. And then to confirm those interactions, you use commands like contacts or HBonds.
And the sources mentioned a key option there, reveal true. What does that do?
It's so useful. It makes sure that any atoms involved in, say, a hydrogen bond are actually visible, even if they were hidden before you ran the command. It prevents you from missing the full chemical context.
It's about making sure your final figure is telling the whole truth.
It is, but maybe the most powerful command for comparison is matchmaker for aligning structures. But it doesn't just do a simple overlay.
It has that iterative pruning thing, right, to focus on the core.
Right, it knows that flexible loops will just skew the alignment, so it calculates all the atom pair distances, and then it systematically throws out the farthest pairs step by step.
Until only the tightest fitting core remains.
Exactly. So your final RMSD value is a true measure of the similarity of the stable scaffold, not the wobbly bits.
That's so smart.
Oh, heh.
Okay, my favorite efficiency tip from the notes. Say you've spent ages styling Model 3 perfectly, and you want Model 5 to look identical.
Ah, yes, the magic memcopy command. You just type memcopy hashtag 3 to hashtag 5.
And it copies everything, the colors, the styles, the transparency.
Everything. All display attributes. It saves so much time when you're making figures for a paper and need everything to be consistent.
Okay, last technical point. Cryo-EM maps. Their values aren't on an absolute scale. Why not?
Well, the voxel values are basically arbitrary. They depend on things like the box size during processing. So a value of 0.1 in one map doesn't mean the same thing as 0.1 in another.
So you have to use a relative measure,
Yeah.
like standard deviation.
Exactly. You use commands like volume SD level to set your contour level based on standard deviations from the mean. That makes it meaningful and comparable.
And one last quick tip.
Yeah.
If a map doesn't line up with your model, don't move the model.
Please don't. The problem is almost always the map's origin information. The software has tools to correct the map origin, and that's the right way to fix it. Don't just nudge things around by hand.
So wrapping this all up, what does this mean for you, the learner? We've covered this huge shift to AI prediction, but stress that you have to interpret confidence scores like PAE and PLDDT, you can't just blindly trust the output.
Right. The insulin receptor is the cautionary tale. We've also seen the future of visualization, swapping a mouse for hand gestures in VR, and we've dug into the command line tools that make your work efficient and reproducible.
The whole field is accelerating. I mean, tools like Plus S2 are making that slow MSA step much, much faster.
They are. But like we said, speed is only half the story. The real value is in critically interpreting the structure you get at the end.
Which leaves us with a final provocative thought. If our best local predictors, like Bolt, are currently capped at around 1,000 residues on consumer hardware, how are we going to deal with the really massive cellular machines? The ribosome, viral capsids, things with tens of thousands of residues. How will you engineer the workflows to analyze structures that push way beyond today's limits?